Chapter 24. The touch of very warm, very gentle fingers woke me. My head hurt, even more than it had after Cowell had finished ringing my bells the night before, if such a thing was possible. I didn't want to regain consciousness if it meant rising into that. But those soft, warm fingers touched me, steady and exquisitely feminine, and the pain began to fade. That had the effect it always did. When the pain was gone, its simple lack was a nearly narcotic pleasure of its own. It was more than that, too. There is a primal reassurance in being touched, in knowing that someone else, someone close to you, wants to be touching you. There is a bone-deep security that goes with the brush of a human hand, a silent, reflex-level affirmation that someone is near, that someone cares. It seemed that lately I had barely been touched at all. "Damn it, Lash," I mumbled. "I told you to stop doing that." The fingers stiffened for a second, and Elaine said, "What was that, Harry?" I blinked and opened my eyes. I was lying on a bed in a dim hotel room. The ceiling tiles were old and water-stained. The furniture was similarly simple, cheap, battered by long and careless use and little maintenance. Elaine sat at the head of the bed with her legs crossed. My head lay comfortably upon her calves, as it had so many times before. My legs hung off the end of the bed, also as they had often done before, a long time ago, in a house I barely remembered except in dreams. "Am I hurting you, Harry?" Elaine pressed. I couldn't see her expression without craning my neck, and that seemed a bad idea, but she sounded concerned. "No," I said. "No, just waking up groggy. Sorry."
"Ah," she said. "Who is Lash?"
"No one I especially want to discuss."
"All right," she said.
There was nothing but gentle assent in her tone.
"Then just lie back for a few moments more and let me finish. Your friend, the vampire, said they'd be watching the hospitals."
"What are you doing?" I asked her.
"Reiki," she replied.
"Laying on of hands," I said. "That stuff works."
"The principles are sound," she said, and I felt something silky brush over my forehead. Her hair. I recognized it by touch and smell. She had bowed her head in concentration. Her voice became distracted. "I was able to combine them with some basic principles for moving energy. I haven't found a way to handle critical trauma or to manage infections, but it's surprisingly effective in handling bruises, sprains, and bumps on the head."
No kidding.
The headache was already gone completely. The tightness in my head and neck was fading as well, as were the twinges in my upper back and shoulders. And a beautiful woman was touching me. Elaine was touching me. I wouldn't have done anything to stop her if I'd had 1,000 paper cuts and she'd soaked her hands in lemon juice. We simply stayed like that for a time. Once in a while, she moved her hands, palms running down lightly over my cheeks, neck, chest. Her hands would move in slow, repetitive stroking motions, barely touching my skin. I'd lost my shirt at some point. All of those aches and pains of exertion and combat faded away, leaving only a happy cloud of endorphins behind. Her hands were warm, slow, infinitely patient, and infinitely confident. It felt amazing. I drifted on the sensations, utterly content. "All right," she said quietly, an unknown amount of time later. "How does that feel?"
"Incredible," I said.
I could hear the smile in her voice. "You always say that when I'm done touching you."
"Not my fault if it's always true," I replied.
"Flatterer," she said, and her fingers gently slapped one of my shoulders.
"Let me up, ape."
"What if I don't want to?" I drawled.
"Men, I pay you the least bit of attention and you go completely paleolithic on me."
"Ugh,"
I replied, and slowly sat up, expecting a surge of discomfort and nausea as the blood rushed around my head. There wasn't any. I frowned and ran my fingers lightly over my scalp. There was a lump on the side of my skull that should have felt like hell. Instead, it was only a little tender. I've been thumped on the melon before. I know the residue of a hard blow. This felt like a bad one, only after I'd had about a week to recover. How long have I been down?
8 hours, maybe?
Elaine asked. She rose from the bed and stretched. It was every bit as intriguing and pleasant to watch as I remembered.
I sort of lose track when I'm focused on something.
I remember, I murmured. Elaine froze in place, and her green eyes glittered in the dimness as she met my gaze in a kind of relaxed, insolent silence. Then a little smile touched her lips.
I suppose you would.
My heart lurched and sped up, and I started getting ideas.